Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bops and Bangers. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Ashley.
And today we are feeling a little lazy, a little loungy, if you will. 100%. Rachel and I just returned from a really incredible 2 days at Shebang Festival. Ashley went skiing with her boo thing for his 30th birthday.
Crazy.
So we have shit to tell Ashley. We got to give her the lowdown.
I haven't heard really anything. Yeah. So I'm excited for all the stories.
Yeah, truly. We've been truly keeping quiet.
Yeah.
Trying.
It's when Rachel and I are quite loud people. But
yeah, I have the most serious FOMO though.
That's fair.
Yeah. It looked really fun.
You would have had a fucking blast.
I think like you would have just ate this shit right up. You would have bounced.
I saw the vendors and I was like, oh, fuck.
No, you would have been the queen of shebang.
Oh,
you really would.
No, yeah, this would have been, yeah.
Yeah, it was your moment. But you know what? You're going to Bleached Fest. So I think of the FOMO.
We work in Bleached Fest.
Think of the FOMO I'm going to get from that.
That's true. Huge. You can always come.
Here's the thing.
You have to fly to Stanford.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's the lowdown on Shebang. And also, big, major, major thank you to Shebang, who gave me and Rachel press passes. We had the time of our life. It was so great. So, obviously, day one rolls around. We are ready. We were on time so well, which is hard
like noon?
For me. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Were you guys sober the whole day?
No.
Oh.
No.
Not at all.
No. But we did have our interviews like kind of in the morning-ish.
Okay.
So the festival didn't even open on Friday until like 3 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So we were chilling while things were still going. Like the vendors were still coming in.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of saw the behind the scenes of like what it takes to make a festival.
Because you did interviews before it even started.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And let me tell you, it is stressful.
I bet.
Oh my gosh. Just the amount of like, okay, where do these people go? Where do these people go? Where do you put them? Like, how do they enter? Like, we were just asking a lot of questions like, so we're just trying to get our press passes, and like, we went multiple places.
Well, we gave ourselves the tour before anyone else could give us the tour.
It's true. Mm-hmm. We did. We saw everything that was happening.
And being on the grounds before a festival starts is such like a cool experience.
Yeah.
And like getting to see like what areas are going to be filled, and you know, just seeing the amount of work, and like seeing kids my age, like all of the staff was like my age.
Yeah.
So like just seeing that was just like super motivating and like super nice to see, and like that it's like so capable. Like I feel like especially my generation's like shit on a lot, like that we're not able to like make shit like that happen, and that we're all kind of all over the place and yada yada yada. But I was like, this is something like I think my generation's gonna do real well.
Oh yeah,
like the content creation was out of this world.
I saw all their videos.
Yeah.
I was oh my god, this stuff's fun.
Right, the energy was so up, and just I don't know, it was really cool to just be there, getting full access to anything and everything.
Yeah.
Like we just were like, okay, like we know this really well, like within the first two hours.
Like we felt like we've been there for years.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Just because like,
is it a huge place?
Well, so it's on the golf course this year. So yes, and it is quite hilly.
Every step you take is like
a hill
on an incline.
Yeah, because it's a golf course.
Yeah. And it
usually
was
golf course. They usually golf cart that shit.
Oh my! There were golf carts rolling around,
like flying up.
Security.
Like, can we please get on one of
those? Oh, trust me, we were trying.
We got on one at the beginning.
We did. We did. But it was really cool to, you know, just see the excitement too of everyone. Everyone was just so power jacked to be there.
Yeah.
So we do our interviews. We did an interview with Saint Luna, who I'm really excited for that interview to go up.
Hi, boys.
The boys from San Diego that we voted for to be at Shebang.
Yep.
And holy fuck, what an insanely nice group of dudes. Like, just so easy to talk to, fun. They have a really good music taste. They all are totally different from one another, but they're besties.
Well,
you could
I love
tell.
That. They're all from San Diego.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And well, so a few of them are like East San Diego, but
that's still
San Diego.
Still San Diego.
Yeah.
They were saying like, we're East. I was like, you're still San
Diego. We're like, we don't do that here.
Yeah,
we don't do that here. But super incredible, great people. And then we saw their set, and it was so much fun.
They're so fun.
Their energy is even better. It's their first little festival I show. Know. And my empathetic heart died inside. I was like, the boys did it. You know? Everyone had so much fun. The audience, like, yeah, it was, it's, they were one of the earlier sets, so it, like, took a little bit to get some people to come.
Yeah.
But you could tell that they had people become fans that day.
Oh, I You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those, and, like, nooners, the 1 o'clockers, you can get fans at festivals.
And I think it's even more of an accomplishment when you see that, like, you're starting early, but you also got the crowd
getting going. You got the crowd to come over it, and be just, like, oh, who is this?
It's just inspirational being like, okay, like, anyone's able to throw a house show and you're able to get anyone amped if you just have the right people doing it. And something about those boys too is just interviewing them, like, so down to earth, so kind, thankful for our time. And I feel like that's where, like, sometimes we can feel underappreciated when just there's so much energy trying to go into it and they just reciprocated it and were interested in us. And it's just, it's, we, I was telling Kels when they were on the stage, we were like, we're right there with them, like, them, this being their first festival, us shooting this festival, we're kind of like had a moment where like we're all doing this, like, kind of together, like, you know, and it's
we're raising the next little generation of you know, press people, of of photographers and musicians.
And I think it was cool, Kels, that we talked to a lot of San Diego people, especially them, and everyone, we get this comment all the time, like, why not LA, why not LA? And St. Luna Boys were saying, like, we want to do it here, like, we want to build a music scene here, and that's what we want to do too. So it was a good full circle moment.
It was, so cute. And they're so appreciative of their San Diego community. Like, they are just, like, kind of almost baffled by how well it's, like, been received by students, by everyone. And I think it's just the energy that they put out. They're just really... Well,
if you're going to be a sweet baby angel, people are going to gravitate towards
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. And we kept running into them at the shows, and, like, we'd all say, hey, give high fives. Be like, where are you going? We're going! You know, just...
Yeah, it's so fun.
Just so much fun. And so, that's what kicked off our shebang, is St. Luna.
Great first set.
Then we kind of just, like, moseyed around that day. Friday was kind of a chill day for us. We also interviewed
The Lisbona Sisters.
Oh,
yes. They look fun. We got a lot to say about them.
The Lisbona Sisters are me and you in, like, a year.
They're like
our age. Okay. A little bit older, I would say. Like, I think one was born in, like, the 80s.
Okay. And Wilder.
And
I saw who you guys are going to become.
They were at Coachella.
Yeah. No, they're dope. So we saw their set before we interviewed them.
Oh, that's fun.
It is so cool to see, like, two females just having a blast doing
house music. 100%. By the way.
And just... just having the best time ever. But my favorite moment was we walked in the tent and one of the sisters was just like, sometimes I get up there and I look at my sister and I say, I forgot how to DJ. And I'm like, imposter syndrome. I was like, I feel that way all the time sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice to see, like, older people be like, oh yeah, no, I got this. I'm like, okay, we all feel this way. But they're so just fun. Just living their best life. They've been doing this for, like, 13 years.
Damn.
Yeah, they all have they both have side hustles, but, like, music is kind of their thing. And they're playing a show in PB.
In PB, July 1st. July 1st. We believe it's PB because it's Beach House or something.
Yeah.
But
they are a fucking blast to watch.
Fun.
Just good music, good vibes. They were at the Funk Safari stage, which was me and Rachel's.
That sounds like my jam.
It was.
We ended up... It took everything from Kels and I to leave.
Oh.
And we did everything we could to just come back.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Truly.
Yeah.
That sounds like my jam.
It was so much fun. It was like the EDM tent. It was like the Yuma of Coachella.
Yeah.
So we saw them, interviewed them, baby angel peaches, so nice. And then we were done with interviews. So we just kind of moseyed around, we went to Funk Safari and found this house DJ named Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. Who also had, like, a secret set at Coachella this year, too.
Oh.
Yeah, she was there and, like, got brought out.
I think that she's on our EDM Girls playlist.
She might know her.
Yeah.
But holy fuck, I'm a converted Vanessa fan.
Oh, she ate that shit
up. She got the crowd amped. And, like, the sun was setting. It is so funny because just where you are in San Luis Obispo, it's like surrounded by mountains. Mm-hmm.
It looks gorgeous.
It's stunning.
You are in a different country.
But you feel like you're in Iceland.
Oh, like you're in a different universe.
And it was freezing.
Freezing.
It was freezing.
Yeah. Freezing. And these poor little girls in their little outfits.
Why are you doing that to yourself?
Because they're baby angels.
And like, you know, like outfits that I was like, if I kept looking at them one more time, I would just fall apart.
Yeah.
Like it was so cold that it was like, if I look at any of y'all shivering, like I'll
were
die.
You guys fine?
Yes.
We packed very appropriately.
We packed very appropriately.
Very appropriately.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wearing overalls, a long sleeve, and a hoodie.
I saw it. Yeah. You look great, though.
Oh, period. Thank you.
I was rocking the cutest little bomber jacket from their
merch.
Oh, my
God, yeah.
I know the cutest.
The Cosmic Disco.
Stop. Yeah.
It was great.
I was like, this is all so cute.
I know. And then I had a giant wool cover
great.
Thing.
Yeah.
It was great. But the sun was set. Rachel and I thought we were in a different country. Who knows?
It's one of those moments where you're like, this is what life is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
This is what's keeping me alive. Yeah. At least for me.
Yeah, like, no. I felt the same way, though.
Zoom in on your face.
Oh, yeah. It was just everything. It's one of those moments that you just, after it ends, you're like, damn. Like, I am just not okay now.
But it was so cool because I like how when they do DJ sets, they just kind of like slide the next DJ in.
Yeah.
And so Vanessa ended her little set with a version of Tequila. And then the whole audience went, Tequila! And then she slipped out and Bob and Moses? Bob Moses came in.
Yeah, so then we headed back.
So we left.
Why? What happened?
After going from the Lisbona sisters to Vanessa and then having to head into Bob Moses.
He's boring.
It's two dudes.
And none of them are named Bob or Moses.
No, we Googled this because I was like, they've got to be named.
Luna was like, yeah, they're not.
Yeah, we're like, what? Francis and Anthony.
What?
Yeah, we don't know. But anyways, they get on stage and they just have very like Odessa-y kind of vibes
like
in their
Rufus.
Club set. Yeah, yeah.
But like not even enough.
Like
it's not even enough.
Because
of that.
Literally one of the dudes, Ashley, this is how he
sorry,
like,
I'm looking up to see what song I know of them. What?
This is how this man did his drop. Drops, he goes like this.
That is literally when he got going like this and Kelsey's like, we're going.
Yeah. I was like,
we're going.
Anyone with a weak little
A weak wrist.
I'm like, come on, where's the...
Yeah.
Oh, tearing me up. Oh, yeah, no. Okay, so I saw... The first time I saw Bob Moses, they were fucking incredible. Super
fun. Back in
the
day?
But that was when that album came out.
Back in the day. Yeah.
And then they were at CrossFest last year or the year before that.
Yeah. Not this last year?
No.
No. Oh, okay. It was a couple years ago. Yeah. I did see them recently, like within the last couple of years, and it was so...
It just looks lackluster.
Yeah.
Like they've lost the passion.
Because honestly, that music is very like coffee house, like kind of back.
Very.
Like background music.
Yes.
It's very like kind of calm. Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, yes.
Tear me up. It's like very like kind of slow.
And and when you go from Tequila to that.
Yeah, it's very much like,
we're like, oh, right. Okay, so we skedaddled.
Yeah.
We saw Men I Trust.
Which was killer.
Yeah, that was probably a better choice anyways.
That was fucking amazing.
I didn't realize how, like, funky Men I Trust was. The guitar lines that were happening in it, I was just like, stank face.
They're really good.
Their music, I feel like, I don't know how to say this. I feel like it's, like, always in the lines, if that makes sense. And then getting to see them live and kind of just have more fun with it and kind of break out of their normal, like, Men I Trust structure that we all love was just so cool.
Yeah,
like, you just felt, like, I felt that in my chest.
Nice.
And we were far for that. Like, we just crashed on the grass for that, and I just felt like I was...
Was it packed full of people?
No, it was actually very manageable.
Very manageable.
It was 12,000.
Oh, wow.
And because it's such a large field area. Venue, like, it never felt like we were
ACL
battling
is.
People.
ACL is, like, so large. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a big park that's so spaced out. Not like Outside Lands where you have to bottleneck to get to stages.
Yeah.
Because outside land's like, it's big spaces, but then you're funneling everywhere.
Yeah, you don't have to funnel.
It sucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's like why ACL is so nice, because you're never
It was nice in that aspect, how spread out. And I think they planned very like appropriately for it.
The music was perfectly spread out, that like when you're like, dead in the middle between stages, you hear both. Mm-hmm. But like if you are at the main stage, you can't hear
the EDM. There's no bleeding.
Yeah, and I think with some festivals, that's where they fail, is like you just, you can't discern one stage or the other. So it was really, I really, like day one was perfect. It was great. We were fucking tired, let me tell you. We walked 1,000 miles, what felt like.
Did you drive?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was easy. It was so easy. So they have a college right across the street. So you just parked at the college and just walked across the street.
Mm-hmm. Don't bother with those shuttles, y'all. No offense, shebang shuttles, but let's leave that shit out. Then make everyone just do the 15-minute walk.
The shuttles were not a shuttle.
Don't plan for the shuttles if you're planning. The
15-minute walk.
It's like a 15-minute walk to get into the golf course, essentially, from parking.
I know, well, people just don't want to drive.
Well, the Ubers were the shuttle. Yeah, yeah. No, the Ubers were over there, too, in the parking spot.
What I'm saying is some people were waiting for shuttle to just get from parking lot A into the festival.
And it's like a
3-minute shuttle ride versus a 15-minute walk. Yeah. Like, don't even worry. Yeah.
And you have to pay for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, like, charging, like,
and
$20.
And the last one ended at $9.50, even though the sets,
all sets don't end until at 10.
It was weird.
Yeah, so,
Maybe not bright ideas. I don't know.
Yeah.
Teach
their own.
The execution wasn't great, but.
Oh, I get it. Shuttle to the car. Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's like you're already tired, you don't want to walk 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And we saw a lot of nutso things. We saw girls rolling on acid.
Y'all went hard for shebang. Let me tell you.
Some people got shebanged.
Yeah. Before the sun even set.
It's
not festivals in general.
It is, but it's so interesting when it's like not a super big festival yet.
Yeah.
And you just see how Slow fucking treated this as Coachella.
Yeah.
Like this was their Coachella.
I will say, because smaller festivals that are like kind of hippy dippy, which I feel like shebang
is. It is, yes.
Like the people get fucked up. They do mushrooms. Because what happens, like when I went to Joshua Tree Music Fest, people are fucked up the whole.
Oh, yeah.
I bet people this year were super sad they couldn't camp. Because that's like a huge part of these festivals.
Oh,
because then you can have all your shit. You can fucking roll hard. You can take hallucinogens.
Yeah.
And you can just get fucked up and then just roll over your
very
tent.
True. I'm like, I'm hoping half y'all didn't even.
Because that's how Joshua Tree Fest is. And it is like all day. People are just on another.
Oh, yeah. We watched such good people watching, first off.
Yeah. We could see every story happening, every timeline. Like one girl just rolling off Molly. 5 minutes before, me and Kels were like, oh, she's going to lose her friend. She's going to end up in security and she's going to lose everything.
I do want to give a huge fucking shout out, though, to their like security team.
Dope.
They were so empathetic and not like, fuck you, get out.
Yeah.
Like the girl rolling, he like squatted down. He was like, hey, how you doing? Like, you don't look great. And you could tell they were having a conversation, but he was trying to get her to come to the med tent.
Yeah.
But he did it in like a, let's go, let's skip over there. You know,
and
like,
she's rolling.
And she's just rolling out of her mind.
She's just fluids. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
She was just, but the way, instead of like, you know, forcing her to go somewhere.
Like making it scary.
It was more like, let me get you some fluids.
Yeah, because she was young. Like
she was
21.
She was too young. Yeah. And, you know, it was so nice to see empathetic security.
Yeah,
for
that
once.
Was nice.
So
nice.
Shout
like
out
to, see it.
To the guy in the cowboy hat as security. We fucking loved you. We saw you so many times.
Security was having a good time.
They were watching them all, stopping,
taking videos.
They were bopping and a banging. That the cowboy security guy was digging Men I Trust.
Oh, I love that.
He stopped.
Oh, yeah, he stopped.
Took a
landscape video. We're like, that's our guy.
I love that.
We're like, how's our girl? Is she okay?
Yeah.
But again, such good staff.
Nice.
So easy to talk to.
Perfect.
Very nice
staff. Day two.
Day two, baby. Let's get into it. Day two, we walked in hot. We went straight to Funk Safari because we knew.
We knew.
We just plopped.
We saw Jay Joko.
Okay.
DJ.
JJ.
JJ Oko?
Yeah.
JJ Ko?
JJ Ko.
We don't know.
Yeah, JJ.
He really started the party for us.
Yeah.
But
people were starting camping out at Funk Safari. Like, people that were there.
They knew.
Yeah.
Oh, but was Hayden and Zed there?
Yes, but we were there because we discovered someone thanks to their PR, the Shebang's PR lady, Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Who got you an interview with them?
With Starfari, but he ended up not showing up. It's okay. We love you, Starfari.
I love you, King.
But he played, so we wanted to go see him because he plays funk disco house.
Oh, I love that.
Ashley, I'm obsessed with this man. He had a little bucket hat, like Gilligan's Island bucket hat, and he had a bongo player.
Oh my God, yes.
And it was his birthday. It was Andy's birthday.
It was Bongo Bob's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Just, I'm just calling him, just Bob, call him Bongo Bob. Bob.
His name's Andy.
Oh.
Starfari was a fucking blast.
Oh my God, I love that.
He pulled out the deep 70s cuts and mixed them with
This sounds like my fucking jam.
I can't wait to show you the video. You're gonna die of happiness. This man is incredible. So much fun. Just gave so much energy. One of my favorite shows of the weekend.
Wow.
An EDM show. We're all so proud of me.
Yeah, I'm proud.
The crowd was nice too. Made a couple little friends. One guy took my camera and took a picture of me off the camera.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Slightly in love with Rachel. His eyeballs, you could see from 100 miles away.
He didn't really speak any English.
Piercing blue.
Oh.
You're just like, Jesus
Christ. I asked Kelsey, I was like, who is that? She's like, the guy that's staring at you. And I was like, who is that?
We're like, we don't know.
He was just vibing.
He was vibing. And then we went over and saw a little bit of Lunar Vacation, which was really nice.
That was good.
We saw Bay Ledges, who is actually really so pumped up the crowd.
He totally is a pump up.
Well, for me, he's more like Coffee House.
Oh, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think he really brings it in his set, and it was really fun.
I love his music.
His music was really
good. It was good. It was very nice. Then we had to run over and see Doll Riot, who is also a San Diego all-female punk band.
Oh, my God.
And the men love Doll Riot. The moshing that was happening at this tiny stage was so cool. And by the way, these girls are like maybe 19, 20.
Did you meet them?
Yes, we interviewed them. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool to... Like, they started off small, too, and then the people flocked. And again, it's so cool to see that. The energy.
Everyone's, like, already getting into it.
Yeah.
You know what? That's, like, the kind of thing, too, when you, like, how if someone, like, Michael was selling merch, and I would go over, and there was other people standing around, I'll be like, I'll buy one of those, like, to my friend. I was like, oh, let me buy one of those. Those are so cool.
Yeah.
And then after I did that, like, four other girls came up and bought them. Oh, it's
mentality. Mob mentality.
So, like, when you have, like, people already into it, like, you could just, like, tell your friends to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, get into this, and then everyone's going to be like, ooh, what's happening over here?
No, we saw dudes run to this set.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they fucking knew every song, you know? And it was interesting because...
And these aren't dudes that you would think be raging at these kinds of shows. I'll just leave it at that.
Especially not to Riot Girl
music. Oh, but they were like banging the barricades, like going crazy. Oh my God. Like,
it was so fun just to see that. What I also think is cool is the fact that like everyone got to play like hour-long sets.
Oh.
They were long
sets. They were all long sets.
And so for a smaller band, they got to play a lot of covers. They got to do a lot of like introducing themselves. So it was really fun.
And we were able to make everything, you know, like a good amount of each set, you know. That's how we could stay at Funk Safari for so long.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
We caught a little bit of TV party, but then we had to go meet the boys of Hippocampus.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we got to meet two of them, and I had a moment of panic many a time because it was like, these are dudes that, like, I grew up in, like, my indie rock vibe.
Yes.
And it was
all of us did.
Yeah, and it was just wild to, like, put them physically in front of you, and you're like, oh, yeah, so let me interview. I had a moment where I was just like, is this life?
Yeah,
like, is this my life? So we got to interview them. Super excited for y'all to see that video as well. And then we ran to Johnny. And
this was just life-changing,
I can't tell you all enough. I am now obsessed with Johnny. I have to re-listen to his album.
Oh.
That came out in March. Because I feel like I really kind of missed it. I know.
I don't even know if I listened to it.
I think that I did.
Album's really good.
But this man's, he's a rock star. You know when you see someone and you're like, this man's about to just fucking explode?
Yes.
He is the kindest, most just energy-giving.
Oh, I still have to listen to it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I haven't listened to
it. Honestly, you might fucking love it.
This is a perfect time, too.
Oh, it is. This kind of music is perfect for this springtime. Mm-hmm. He is just an angel from up above. I adore him. He did a tiny little cover of Taylor Swift, which had the entire audience screaming. He had them jump, and you could, we have video of it because we were in the press section, like right in front, and you can just see hordes of jumping because the energy.
Yeah, next level.
Next fucking level. I just sat there and was like in awe of this
man. What time was this in the day?
This was as the sun 6:40, was setting. So as the sun was kind of starting.
Because he had like an hourish set.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, is like, he's been an artist I've been following for a minute, like watching him grow, and he's been part of my New Music Fridays, like probably one of my first with you guys.
Yeah.
And so just seeing it, like literally seeing history of just, because I know he's just going to take off after this, like it's just, he has it all there, his band is together, and his so cute. Just the way that I love artists that will be a fan at heart always and have that appreciation and he has that.
Yeah,
he commented on my Instagram story, like my personal Instagram, and he was like, nah, like I love you guys, like I hope you had such a good time.
Oh,
like
how cool.
Yeah, so it was like, just, he's just so great. He's like a mini postie in the way that he kind of just has that,
like a goof,
like,
yeah,
he, you like, just want to hug,
like,
him one
of, like, he wants to hang out
moms
with you,
would just be upset, like my mom would just be like, I love you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I, no, he just wants to hang out with you. Yeah, you know, and you're just like, oh my god, how do you give so much energy and then have a killer voice,
yeah,
great fucking music, and just the entire, it was my favorite show of the weekend.
And if you listen to his music, it is such a science behind it, the different elements, the you different production, the like hyper pop, the synth wave stuff, like all of that is just a science, and like it's his sound, which is just, I can't wait to see him headline Coachella one day.
Hell dude, he's, I love that.
He's exploding. He's so on, he's actually on tour right now. Try to go check him out if you can.
Did you guys meet him?
No, but I'm hoping we can slide into his DMs.
Yeah. I'm already in them. We'll fit.
Rach is already in them. Mm-hmm. Then we saw a little bit of sunburn because we had to go to the Funk Safari more time.
I love sunburn.
Fucking dope.
They're
it was so much
sunburn's
fun.
Sunburn's incredible. For years and years loved.
We saw a little bit of Hayden James, but again, it's very much that like Odessa-y kind of sound where it's a little,
it's
just
like progressive.
Too,
but it's, I liked very,
it. Yeah, no, it was good. It was
Hayden's
good.
Hayden's super fun too. I've seen Hayden a bunch of times.
Yeah, remember we shot him. He's one of the first shows we shot.
Yes.
And I was like, Rach, I've shot this dude.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that too.
Yeah, that wild.
I've seen him play at CrossFest.
There was another DJ, Max Styler. Max Styler,
yeah.
I think we saw a little bit of his, but I think it was during that overlap.
It was.
But like he, I have a couple of videos from him. I ended up being a fan, leaving him as a fan of
and
his.
And that's the best part of Shebang is like, I think we just, we did a lot of
music discovery.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so cool to just like bip bop and not really have like, like for Outside Lands, there's so many artists I want to see. I'm not going to be able to do music discovery, you know?
No, yeah.
And this
right.
was just so nice to kind of like
down. Who's the other headliner?
We saw Hippocampus.
Oh, Hippocampus.
Yes, yes.
So good.
So good. They fucking killed it. Their whole
cinematic presence.
Fucking presence. The lead singer had these wild ass 80s sunglasses on and they just were like,
they
living the best life. They have a vibe.
And like walking up and like listening to their music and knowing exactly where I was, like literally back in 2015, like listening to this exact shit. Like I wanted so badly to be like, your music was like me and my homies, like soundtrack for our life for like literally years.
Yeah. So it was really cool.
So you did 2 days. You were not tired.
We were tired.
We were in beast mode though. Like we were like, go.
But I also think it's because it wasn't like we had to keep darting to people.
Yeah.
Like we took it very casually, like, oh, let's go over there. Let's go see this. Let's like
how
it wasn't,
South by we had things like blocked off every 5 seconds. Like it wasn't like that. And it was nice that our interviews were kind of spread out so we could like take a breather, go be energized.
South by was too much.
Yeah.
And Outside Lands, like I said, like there's no music discovery happening there because there's so many bands.
Yeah, we know everyone from like 1 p.m. until
exactly.
Midnight.
So it was really like we got to take it easy. Mm-hmm. We got to chill and see really good music. It's a fun fucking festival. I really hope they keep going with it. I really hope they have it at the same golf course.
I'll see y'all next year for real.
Honestly, we got shebanged and we fucking
my first rave.
Baby's first rave.
Amazing. So much fun.
I know. I really, guys, thank you to Shebang again. Major fun vibes. We're so excited for next year.
And we have an incredible interview coming up now.
So excited.
With Izzy from A Girls to Sound Sense podcast.
Yes.
And she's a sweet baby angel. Just can't get enough. Can't get enough.
She's a walking dictionary, yes, thesaurus, encyclopedia of music.
Yeah.
We were on her podcast a couple weeks ago, so we wanted to have her come on ours. We hope you guys really enjoy the interview. She's brilliant. I love the way she speaks about music.
Mm-hmm. It's just so fun.
True. Facts. It's facts.
Facts on facts.
Nerdiness.
I learned so much. Yeah. So before we get into that, though, we have our podcast song, which we are obsessed with.
We are obsessed with. This is Bored by Alex Vila featuring Coley Huntsler of Beauty School Dropout, which Rachel actually saw before they opened for Jaden, which is crazy. I love a full circle moment. Yeah. but Alexa's actually from San Diego. She lives in LA now, so miss you, girl. Come back down to the real place.
Yeah, yeah. Come back down to the better place.
Yeah, but she's a multi-instrumentalist, piano, guitar, singer, songwriter, producer, just everything in the music industry. This is like a pop punk Avril Lavigne kind of vibe.
It's a banger.
It's so fun to hear this type of music again make its comeback. She calls herself the bubble rockstress, which that tracks.
I love that. I love never heard that in my life.
I'm using it forever now. And she's just really cool. She says she blends a fusion of cotton candy sonic flavor, sugary sweet hefty guitars with honest and delicate piano melodies, blurring the line between pop and rock. And it just really, really lends itself to greatness.
Yeah, it's that alt pop vibe we're just all obsessed with right now.
Obsessed with. Yeah. So you guys are going to love this. This is Alexa Vila with her song Bored. Go check it out on all streaming platforms now and have fun with the interview with Izzy. We love you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye. Did my best to be a friend, but I do better in the end. Without the stress, your drama's intense. Humble brag, got your daddy's best.
Focus all of that energy on yourself instead of me.
welcome back, everybody, to Bops and Bangers. Yes. We have a really fun guest for us. Our first, like, real guest on the show.
Yes.
We were guests on their podcast, so we wanted to extend the beautiful invitation to them. Introduce yourself. Tell the people who you are, what you do, all that fun stuff.
Hi, beautiful listeners. I am Izzy. I run a website called A Girl's Two Sound Sense, spelled girl with three R's, like Riot Girl or Girl Music. What? And I have devoted my free time and my passion projects all to platforming women, femme, queer, and trans artists. And I think that's of the utmost importance that we devote all the platforming we can to getting more femme people, more non-binary people, more queer people of color on those stages, and also giving them the mic and a chance to speak, because even today, sadly, the dudes are notoriously getting all of the airtime. Mm-hmm. And so why would I give them any more of that? You know what I mean?
That's exactly how we feel too. It's like, you know, the bigger bands, of course, we love bigger artists, but that doesn't mean that they, you know, they don't need to be on our platform because they're already big. They already have a voice. We are very much like you. We try to give our homies voices where they don't otherwise have one. So we're super excited to have you on. You are also just like a walking encyclopedia about music and labels and
fun facts.
Fun facts. Like your brain is just so baffling to me that I'm just like, hell yeah, let's talk to Izzy. Like, it's gonna be fun. But we asked you to bring five albums that have just like made you who you are, right?
Those like top albums.
Top albums?
Yeah.
Ooh, fun. So let's deep dive into it first. What's the first one? Tell us.
I'll start with five.
Yeah. Start with number five.
Start with number five. We gotta wait for one.
Yeah. We're builders.
Waiting for one. Oh, okay. Let's see. All right, so number five, I'm going to have to go with Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion album.
Wow.
That is a strong number five. A strong number five. Because I feel like Carly Rae does not get the love that she deserves sometimes.
She really doesn't, truthfully. Out of all the pop stars,
yes,
it's like she's kind of, but she does her own thing. And I think that's what makes her kind of exciting and fun. She's like a different kind of pop artist.
Yes. What drew you to Carly Rae?
I think the fact that she doesn't take herself too seriously, but takes herself so seriously at the same time, especially after Kiss came out in like 2012 or 2011, I think that, and Call Me Maybe obviously like was a runaway hit, had a life of its own and still does. And, it's the talk about like a blessing and a curse. Like when something like that, such a colossal hit, just eclipses everything else that you touch, especially in mainstream circles. I can't imagine like being in that position. I mean, like, but also like I envy it because, like, oh my God, like the money's coming in from those royalties, honey. I mean, like Cookie Monster parodied the song.
And literally she can use that money then to like fund her real like passion project, which is kind of cool.
Right.
That's
and I think
point,
with
that, like, people probably show up to her shows and still only want to see Call Me Maybe.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Like, because of that's
They know that song.
But
then like when Emotion came out and she went into this entire other direction, I think she just pioneered like an entire wave of this sort of new wave revivalism that we're seeing with a lot of pop stars cosplaying as 80s pop now. I think that and also like that is, it's just a perfect album. And it's so cerebral, the writing, and even like the hopeless romantic, like sort of all-encompassing songs that tap into that like teenage sort of heartache that are just so all-encompassing of just all of the different like human emotions a person can tap into.
Relatable.
And very relatable as well. But also, like, what's so cool about Carly Rae too is that music nerds love her. Yeah. They can't get enough of her. You'll see metal fans, you'll see like black metal fans at her shows, you'll see like hip hop fans at her shows, you'll see the pop girlies at her shows, and like I feel like she's just how can you not, like she's like America's sweetheart. I agree.
Yeah. For like the kind of, I almost think like Charlie XCX, you know, even, oh my gosh, Dua Lipa. Like you hear a lot of the influences from Carly Rae now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Is she really did start that like 80s synth vibe again. Yes. And it's very interesting to see, like you're saying, like there's room for everyone to like Carly Rae, and it's very accessible almost.
Yeah.
And I think when we have conversations about like Taylor Swift, and she's almost like the indie Taylor Swift of our generation. Yeah. Like she just really has us all in her grasp. We're all like, Carly, give us music.
Yeah.
Please.
It's Carly's world and we're all just living in it.
100%.
Amen. Amen. I love that. What's your favorite tracks off of that album?
That is a great question. I would have to say that I really, really love Boy Problems. Especially that little run where it's like, no, 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 so good. Oh my God. I think that's also Dev Hines' favorite track on the album, by the way. Oh,
damn. Does she work with him? Am I insane?
I think he helped her write All That, I believe.
Oh,
and damn. I think he played on it too. Yeah, he played on it.
That's so she really just has the indie world just the palm of her hand.
I think I think like the guy from The Cardigans also like worked on that album.
Sheesh.
Shellback worked on that album. Yeah. Rostam did Warm Blood. Oh, like she just had just taking all of the future arbiters of what like creative expression in the indie world would become and putting them all onto one album. Like talk about being so ahead of your time. Right?
100%. We were just looking at her Spotify and I forgot Dedicated has that song Party for One, which is the biggest earworm.
Oh, it is. It's such a good song.
I bopped and banged that song in 2019 like it was nobody's business. I probably make up this 56 million listens. Just me. Just me. I love that. Hell yeah. Okay, so what is your number four?
My number four would have to be Marky Moon by Television.
I'm not the biggest Television knower. Like I know they're big. I know they did the things in the music industry, but tell me why you like it.
Yes, they did the musics very well.
they did the bops and the bangers.
They bopped and banged very well. Yeah. So what's interesting about Television is like they have like such an interesting like history, like to get all like nerdy about the backstory of things, like when CBGB opened, it's the owner of CBGB. For any listeners who might not know what CBGB is, it's a very famous punk rock club that was on the Bowery in New York City, active for many, many, many years. Home to the stage was home to like many like the Ramones, Patti Smith, etc. What was interesting about Television is they helped build the stage at CBGB. And when Hilly Crystal opened CBGB, he wanted it to be a country and bluegrass establishment.
Oops. What?
And oops. That's what the acronym is. It's country, bluegrass, blues. Yeah. That's what CBGB stands for.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oopsies. So,
yeah, changed oopsies. It.
So, yeah. And I think this was when Richard Hell was also still in the group. So, like, I guess, like, they approached Hilly, I guess. Like, I don't know the complete ins and outs of the whole story. But, and Hilly was like, okay, I only hire country and bluegrass artists. Do you play country and bluegrass? And they were like, yeehaw!
Sure we do.
We sure do. And then, like, they were one of the first bands to play there. And they sort of, like, and they're almost like proto the whole movement and like be and kind of shaped the whole trajectory of what the place would end up doing and what it would become known for throughout history. And so Marky Moon, the album, is one of my favorites because of Tom Verlaine, their front man, who recently passed away, rest in peace. His guitar tones were like notoriously copied by so many post-punk and later like punk artists who came after them. And what's interesting about Television is that a lot of people really love their long guitar solos, but what made their song so interesting was the rhythm patterns and their super angular approach to these guitar pyrotechnics. So, and there's this one part in Marky Moon, the self-titled song, which is 11 minutes long, where it goes on and on and on, and the solo just keeps building and building and building. And then it goes up another octave, another octave, another octave, keeps building and goes like, and just like the drums keep like smashing on and on and on and on and on. And then you're like, oh, you start to ascend to another plane of existence. And you're just like, this can't possibly go anywhere else. And then they just rope it back in. And that bass line, that very simple bass line going doo-doo, 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 and then you hear the opening riff again, and you're just like, oh, this is amazing.
It's almost like chaos it's chaotically meditating, almost
very chaotically meditating. I saw three local bands do a Television cover set for Halloween. That was the closest I'll ever get to experiencing, yeah. Marky Moon being played live, and it was, oh my god, it was insane.
So they clearly did a good job.
Yeah,
they did a really good job, and a lot of people, like when the Strokes first emerged with "Is This It," a lot of people were like, that was like a whole thing. People were like, this sounds like Television. And Julian Casablancas was like, no, I've never heard of Television. Oh, wink, that wink. Like
Julian Casablancas fucking
remark. When you saw it live, did they play the whole like 11 minutes version of the song?
The whole nine. The whole 11 minutes.
Yeah. And I bet everyone was just like, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So do you think that's your favorite song off the album?
Oh, absolutely. But the album has a really, like, all of the other songs are amazing, too. There's the opening track is called See No Evil. And the way that it starts, it just, like, starts at a 10. Like, it just, like, rolls there, like, right on in the drum, like, and you're like, oh!
But, all right.
It's like the, yeah.
It's like being on steroids. That's so cool because, you know, we hear a lot about them in punk rock history. We hear a lot about them in, you know, like even in David Bowie's history.
Yeah.
Like you hear the name Television being
a huge part of like just that era of music. So I've always wanted to go and listen to this. So you've just really given me cause to do so. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I'll let you know how I feel afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that was wildly great. I'm now a television star.
I wonder if it's going to be the chaos will be too much for my noggin.
But, it might be.
But I'm going to dive in.
It will be great for my little parents.
She likes the chaos. I'm more of like, let's just
all hold hands. You're more in the Carly Rae Jepsen
side. Yeah, 100%.
You know, yeah. I like it. Moving on to number three, dive in.
All right. So number three is All Hands on the Bad One by Slater Kinney.
Oh my God.
I'm here for this.
Banger.
I could go on and on and on and on about how much I adore Janet Weiss's drumming. It's like, oh my God. Like, she's just a firebrand. But also, like, their different sort of bubblegum approach to songs like You're No Rock and Roll Fun.
Oh.
And
You're
their
No Rock and Roll Fun. Oh, dude, such a so bop. Oh, my God. That's so, so good. I totally agree. You know, they're named after a street. I've passed that street multiple times. It's in Washington.
Oh.
And every time I do, I'm like, I love them so
near
much.
Near where you used to live?
No, it's like more so in western Washington.
Oh.
Like, you know how Seattle, we all think on the west, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's like deep in. It's like when you go towards actually where Kurt Cobain was born and lived, which is a very sad town.
Oh.
Very
depressing. Aberdeen.
Mm. Aberdeen. Very, very sad. Very sad little sad. Place.
Yeah.
I was total. Like, oh, no.
Yeah. Total white trashville, too.
Very,
wonderful.
Very. But anyway, Slater Kinney, yes. Ballad of a Man was, I think, the first song I heard from Slater Kinney ever, and why I got into Riot Girl music. So I am so stoked to talk about this. What do you love about them, besides the drumming?
Yeah.
What I love so much is I think that Carrie Brownstein's approach to guitar playing is like very distinct. The tones are very, like, very much Carrie codified tones. Like the rhythms are immaculate. I love listening to Corinne Tucker. Like Corinne Tucker's like sort of like refined and honed voice. After like you can hear like echoes of it emerging when she was still in Heavens to Betsy back in the day. And then when Slater Kinney formed, their discography is like so insanely good, it's almost impossible to like pick a favorite. I would have to go with All Hands on the Bad One because this was just after the Hot Rock, which was a more like experimental approach to that album. What I really love is how all of these are very much immaculately crafted pop songs, but they have something to say as well, like especially to so just talking about the politics of the industry. And their approach to wanting to tear it all down, you know, like with songs like Ballad of a Lady Man, like you mentioned, The Professional, Male Model, Milkshake and Honey, I feel like was them like just predicting the existence of Julian Casablancas as an entity. Because basically they're just singing from the perspective of some dude. Pretending like he doesn't give a shit and just like is like walking around smoking a cigarette in France, like trying to look for the next girl he's gonna fuck or whatever.
Literally. And
The Swimmer and Pompeii, the two closing tracks where it kind of cools down a little bit, but there's plenty of soul to those songs. Are just, I think it's just another perfect album. Yeah. And I feel like that was when they really hit that point. Like this was like, if you want to get into Slater Kinney, I would definitely start with like Dig Me Out and Call the Doctor, and then maybe go to the self-titled debut after that. But if you're not quite ready for something completely out of the box and chaotic as The Woods, which was, I think, the final album before they disbanded initially, before they got back together. And then I would go with All Hands on the Bad One.
Yeah, I agree. This was my entry into Riot Girl music, and it's always going to have like such a special place in my heart too. And I love that you chose it. I have not really thought, because I'm so involved in new music now, mm-hmm. I always forget, like, oh my god, that is such a good album.
There was
that
so much good shit.
Yeah, that I haven't had time to like re-listen to like as an adult, and now you've got me in my feels, and I feel like I'm gonna have to listen to Sleater-Kinney today. Sorry to all the albums I'm behind on.
Yeah, I know. So also, sorry. This is like 100 albums from April, but we're fine.
We're fine. I love it. Okay, number two.
I'm going to have to go with David Bowie's Young Americans album, which...
God. You guys are music sisters.
We are twinsies. I feel... I mean, girl, let's...
Oh.
We could talk about David Bowie. We could talk about David Bowie. Oh, my God. Let's do it.
What I love so much is how, like, insanely cerebral Bowie was, like, always... approaching the explanations for his albums. Like, something hilarious that he said about this album was, he's like, this Young Americans is my Plastic Soul album, which is the squashed remains of his words, not mine, ethnic music in the age of Muzak, sung by a white limey.
And oh my god,
Beth. I love how he went like that far and thought of all of that. And then John Lennon, who worked on the album a little bit with him, was like, oh, it's good, but I just think it's rock and roll with lipstick.
Nice. I mean, I'm kind of
which on, is very Lennon.
I'm kind of on Lennon's side here on that one. It is, I mean, 1975, come on, David, that's a little like existential.
Yeah.
Yeah. The squash remains.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. That's why we love him. I mean, the man literally gave us an album telling us he was dying and then died, you know?
Yeah. Literally.
That's so Bowie-esque to just be a little extra in every way possible.
So extra. Yeah.
Yes,
and what I love so much about this album was like just the obviously banger after banger after banger, but the amount of killer session musicians he roped in, like David Sanborn played the alto sax, and he was like a very prolific session musician who was very like a contemporary jazz pioneer. And so whenever I listen to Young Americans, the song, and that alto sax comes in that Sanborn's playing, I'm just like, oh, do you hear that? Just listen to this man blow. It's so
good. You hear that saxophone, let me tell you. And there's that one, my mom was not a Bowie fan, but she would always tell me that there's one song, and she loves Young Americans.
Yeah.
And it's that one song that one part where it's like, one damn song that can make me break down and cry.
Yeah. Do y'all think Luther
loved
it? Do y'all think maybe Luther Vandross walked away from that session and was like, I've got to write that song that'll make Bowie break down and cry?
Down.
Probably.
And then he wrote Dance With My Father.
Oh, me?
Yes, now I'm convinced of it, and you can't tell me otherwise. We're making that fact.
And Bowie definitely cried.
Oh, Bowie cries all the time.
Yeah.
Bowie cries. And then you end with Fame.
Fame.
Which is one of me and Ashley's favorite songs to sing. So
fame. Yeah, you iconic.
So good.
So good. And so cheesy, but in the best ways possible, right? And I feel like that's Bowie in a nutshell.
Yes.
It's just like cheese, great cheese.
Yeah, great cheese.
He's like a brie. He's like
fine
a
cheese.
Yeah.
With a fine cheese.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
With a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
He's Bowie.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this man more than life. More than life.
Yeah.
It's a good album. I would not classify this as one of my favorites, but
yeah, the Bowie. albums.
Of the Bowie albums.
Yeah.
But Young Americans in Fame are just
bangers. One of the best songs. But yeah.
Damn. And 1975. God, so talented. That's so annoying sometimes. Yeah. Such a baby and yet so talented.
Yeah.
God.
You know what? I just recently rewatched Velvet Goldmine, the film recently.
Oh my God.
Have you guys seen it?
Yes. No, I don't know what that is.
So fucked mind trip of a movie.
Is David Bowie in it?
Is he?
It's kind of him, right? Yeah, it's based on him. It's loosely based on him. There was like legal drama. I don't think like he didn't want to be involved in the film or whatever. It was actually executive produced by Michael Stipe of REM, the film. Mm-hmm. And it was directed by Todd Haynes, a very prolific new queer cinema film pioneer. It stars Ewan McGregor, Jonathan Rhys Meyers, and Christian Bale. And it's super, super gay. It's basically like Bowie and Iggy Pop fan fiction, except they changed the story and the names so that no one would get sued.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It's very
What's it called?
Velvet Goldmine.
Okay.
It's a weird movie, but man, Ewan McGregor.
I know, love him.
A young, hot bucket.
Oh, he is so beautiful.
He was, he is still so
You're
beautiful.
Right. You're right.
Man.
Fine wine.
Yeah, I was about to say, fine he's wine. Aging like a Truly. Fine wine, Truly. Man. Man, yes. I love it. Okay, right. Number one. What is it, girl? Tell us.
Joni Mitchell's Blue album, Easy Peasy.
You guys are stars. That is, yes. Why? Tell me.
I mean, because I know it's, why. Because it's blue. That should be enough of a reason. But it's that was the first vinyl I ever bought with my own money.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that.
That means so much to someone. I totally agree. But that what wiseness from wiseness?
Wiseness.
Wiseness from you to
what a wise
to thing. Like buy that'd be your first vinyl. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, at least like I had bought vinyl before, but with my parents' money. Oh, so yeah. Like that. I feel like this is like the proper like
yeah, I mean,
and
it's so mature because my first album was LFO, so
mine was Spice Girls. Insane. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's just so good. Like California. Banger. River. Banger. All I Want. Water. Banger. So good. I could, I love it so much. Put that shit back on Spotify.
I know. I literally went to go pull it up and I was like, oh yeah, she's not on Spotify. God damn it. Oh, it breaks my heart because she is a woman's woman will always be. I'm reading this book that actually you might really love. It's called Pop Song by Larissa Pham. It's Ooh. All essays. But she writes, you know, sometimes there's like actual artwork. Sometimes there's actual like music. She blends in with her thing. She was literally just talking about Joni Mitchell's A Case of You being like how you just kind of feel so drunk in love with someone and just that euphoria you feel. And I'm like, fuck, like I'm currently living through that like song right now. And I'm like, oh, it's just like. Joni just has a moment for all of us.
Yeah, she does.
As women.
She really does.
Captures the emotion, like, so beautifully. Oh. It, like, gets inside of your heart, and it, like, just holds, like, it's just, like, a weird...
Yeah.
It stays.
Oh, my God. Oh, like, one song, oh, my God. Well, her last rendition of it, I guess, Both Sides Now.
Oh yeah,
the one that's in Love Actually that will make you ugly cry every fucking
that
time.
That scene is
so good.
So
when Emma Thompson,
oh my God.
I mean,
I know.
And Joni is so cool because, like, so she had a higher voice range at some point, but because of all her smoking, she couldn't do that. So she just like was
lowered
like, it. "Fuck it, I'm lowering my voice."
Yeah.
and now had a stroke and can't really sing.
Is she still playing in July?
She is, technically. So she's playing with Brandi Carlile at a spot in Washington called The Gorge. That
are we going to do that?
I'm trying. Okay. It's my goals. It's my goals. Because even if she couldn't sing well, it's with Brandi Carlile, yeah, first
Brandi,
of all.
Brandi, that's why she so, probably did that.
I think so.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's just to say I saw Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
Because it's Joni.
It's Joni.
It's Joni. What's your favorite track off this album? Like, if you could only listen to one of them, what would it be?
I know.
Devastating.
Mine would be River, for sure.
I think mine would be...
I was just going to say, I'm leaning towards River.
It's a good one.
What would yours be, Kelsey?
I think A Case of You, honestly.
That's a good one, too.
That was, again, one of the first Joni songs I remember my mom playing for me. I know. Blue came in later in my life when I was a little sad girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Joni forever.
This album is such a good choice, truly.
It's one of the, and it recognized as one of the best, and as it should.
Like, yeah.
I know Court and Spark, I love too. Fuck. Free Man in Paris. I just love Joni. She's my queen. She is my queen.
I can't decide. You can't pick one.
No. But what a good little eclectic
five
albums.
That was super fun to go through.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah. Seriously, just so much more mature than even my level of
choosing. I know. That was so like thought out.
Yeah.
Ours is like, we like the song. No, I love it. I really love talking to you about music because you just have so many facts. I just sit here and go,
yes, it's very
everything.
Yes.
Tell me all the tea.
Your memory is top notch.
Top notch, girl. Top
yeah,
notch.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I was actually hanging out with a friend the other day and we were going through my vinyl collection and I was like, I need to figure out like what my favorite albums are for this conversation I'm having. And she was like, okay, let me open a page in my notebook here. And so like we were just like journaling like this one, I'm like, Contender. Could have been a contender.
Oh gosh,
or this one.
That makes me so happy.
Literally, I think that's so cool because sometimes we forget what music really made us and what music we still listen to even today. And because we are involved so heavily in new music, it's like you are a fresh breath of air to be like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
There are some fucking albums in the past that were just
superior. You couldn't live without them.
You can't live without them.
Yeah. Like such a huge core to like what music is today, honestly, like the influence.
Yeah. Did your parents raise you on really good music?
I would say absolutely. Yeah. My you want to know when what was insane to me, and it's like so like wild to think about now, is that a first time I was introduced to the Velvet Underground was in my mom's car. Can you imagine
heavy.
Growing up and I was just like, and like talking to kids and they were like, holy fuck. Like I had to go hunt that shit down in the library and listen to it secretly. Yeah. Listen to it secretly. Exactly. But like playing it in my mom's car. Like, so like growing up, like, and then looking back and being like, much to my chagrin, I think my parents are cool, actually.
I know. I had to reach that moment too when I was going through all my, like, I got all my mom's vinyls and like she's got OG Joni Mitchell vinyl in there that has been used and abused. disintegrating in my hand. And it's like, damn, Cynthia, you were so cool back in the day. She like had, do you know the band, The Association? I think they were like a 60s band, but she literally drew hearts over the men that she thought were attractive.
And like, oh my God!
Them on the vinyl. And like, that is just such a cool piece.
That
of,
is
like,
a cool
your
piece
parents'
of your
history.
Parents.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that we always recognize like the influence of music, especially growing up. And
100%.
Our parents, like your dad was the funk master.
Yeah. A lot of groovy tunes.
A lot of groovy
out
tunes.
Of my house.
Funk
my
master.
Too, nice. Tower of Power.
Yeah. We had like the Temptations.
It was, yeah. It's just cool to like be like, yeah, fuck, my parents are really dope. Okay.
Yeah.
I get good it. Taste.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it.
What's actually cool too is my dad grew up in Jamaica, and so he's part Jamaican, part English, and he was raised for up until the age of 13, I believe, in Jamaica, before moving to England for boarding school. Like thinking back, I'm like, wow, my dad's life was wild. Like,
yeah, it just been so much music influence
bouncing around
too.
Do you like a lot of dance hall stuff?
Yeah, dance hall stuff. I remember first hearing Sister Nancy on a mix that my mom made of all of her favorite reggae tunes, like Toots and the Maytals.
Oh, Toots.
Toots.
I love Toots. I saw them Toots. Live. They're so fun.
There was a lot of The Beat playing in my house as a child, lots of mirrors and bathrooms and window shopping.
Nice. I love that though. I think when your parents have a superior music taste, you then have a superior music taste. You know? I think it rubs off completely.
It does rub off. Apple doesn't fall far.
Yeah. To complete our nice little lovely interview with you, we asked you to give us a concert story.
Okay. It could be fun. It could be crazy.
It could be nuts.
It could just be your favorite concert ever.
Yeah. Well, there's a few that come to mind. I went to see a local band called they've way surpassed the local tier now. Do you know the band Thick?
Yeah.
So
Thick.
So
yep.
I have some fun connections to them because we have a lot of mutual friends. Tyler, the lead singer of a great local band called TVOD, Television Overdose, is dating Nicole from Thick. I've been to their apartment a few times. He actually gave me this tattoo. That's the place where people get blood drawn, and I was I remember picking it, and they were like, oh, that's gonna hurt, and I was like, oh, you're right, damn it, I my mind's made up, whatever, just fuck it, just do it. But I went to see a Thick show at a really cool venue in Greenpoint, I believe, called St. Vitus. I'm totally I swear when I log off of this call, I'm gonna look at I'm gonna Google it, and it's gonna be way out of the Greenpoint region, and people are gonna be like, hey, Izzy doesn't know shit about geography, whatever. So I went to see Thick at St. Vitus, and there was this artist who opened called Jess X. And they played a song called Scream, and it's just about them being so fed up with being alive that they want to scream so loud that they just blow the roof off of the face of the earth. And they're they got the audience to participate as well. They were at the end of the song, we're all gonna scream as loud as we possibly can.
Yes, I would love this.
And then later they use they them pronouns, but they got into the audience, they grabbed a pogo stick and started just moshing on the pogo stick. They started on this fucking pogo stick, and it was the most that was one of the experiences where the show, it was bam, no foreplay, the show starts off at a 10. Just
that's how it started.
Yeah, they were the first act on the bill. That's how it started.
Was everyone screaming at the same time as the pogo sticking?
But definitely, and there was this one point where they passed the mic off to their best friend, and their best friend just started like screaming their fucking lungs out on the mic while they were hopping on the pogo stick, and people were like just slamming into each other. It was insane. It was so much fun. And then Skating Polly played after that, and then
It was a lineup.
Yeah, and that set was also insanely fun. At one point, I had to sit on the ledge of the stage because I was getting, like, slammed all around. Like, and I was like, my ribs are going to crack and fracture if I move any further.
Stress release.
Yeah, truly.
It is a great stress release. Really, it was a very, very cathartic. And, then Thick played, and I crowd surfed multiple times, and there was a point where like I documented it, and Tyler, Nicole's partner, who I mentioned earlier, saw my story, and he's aware of how tame I can be at shows and how like shy as an introvert going to shows, it takes me a minute to like sort of get into things. And he saw it, and he was like,
"Proud of you."
Yeah, congratulations, my child.
Yeah, she did. You're so proud. I love that though, because I feel like, you know, as oldies but goodies, like the girlies, we are very tame as well. And so but there are moments at shows where you just feel so uninhibited and like so ready to just be down with the music. And that sounds like kind of what you just allowed yourself to be. And I'm like, okay.
You just like feel alive. So it's like a moment where you're like, oh, like I,
Like when Wet Leg does their scream, during where she just fucking wails for like a good minute.
Yes.
And everyone screams with her, you feel this general catharsis of oh, we're all angry. We're all pissed. And I love that kind of music. I think it really brings people together in a weird, fucked way.
But yeah.
A pogo stick. That's a new one.
That's next level.
That's a new one.
Pogo sticking is really fun.
And hard.
I used to love a pogo stick. And a skip it. Those were like my two outdoor.
Rachel and I were just talking about skip it and how they actually physically break your ankle.
They do. You would get like huge bruises on your shin.
Oh my God. Just death to your ankles. Death to your ankles. Yeah, exactly. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love chatting with you. Like I said,
so much fun.
You are a musical encyclopedia. So
join our Discord, please. Yes. Love to keep chatting. I love all of your music, Rex. It's so fun.
Honestly, we should have you do a live with us because I feel like the people should just pick your brain because oh my God.
I would love to.
You are like a wealth of knowledge. Yeah, and I think it's so cool because while we love music history, we just unfortunately don't have time to deep dive into it.
Yeah.
So you are our official like girl, what do you call like a librarian?
Yeah.
You're like our girl librarian. Just, you know, our
full of facts.
Our thesaurus, our dictionary, our geographer, our history nerd, and we love every second of that. So everyone needs to go follow you. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at a girls to sound sense. That's a girl with three R's, no I, with an S at the end, to the word, the spelling of the word, sound sense, at a girls to sound sense.
We'll put it on the screen.
Yeah,
put it on the screen.
Yes.
And we'll be tagging you in everything. Like we said, we are so excited to have this conversation with you. We hope to have a lot more because you're just an honorary girl, and I hope we get to meet in real life one of these damn days and hang out.
I would love to. Absolutely. Let me know if you're ever in New York.
Wait, we're actually gonna go to New York next week for 2 days.
We're going to see some Broadway. AKA I would do anything for Josh Groban, and him being in Sweeney Todd, I have to go see. So And I would do anything for Ben Platt. So him being in Parade, I'm like, I have to go
see. So we're going to do a back-to-back shows. But we are going to, are you near Manhattan?
I am in Manhattan, actually. So yeah, hit me up.
Yeah, let's get together. That would be super fun.
Hell yes. That's so, oh my God, I just got really excited. Sweet. We'll send you our numbers so we can connect.
Hell yes. Thank you so much again for having me. And also, y'all, don't forget to listen to the episode of my podcast with Kelsey and Ashley.
It was so fun.
Where we talk about first date playlist picks and wanting to quit your job to Simple Plan playing in the background.
I mean, the best. That was such a fun conversation. I still think about that conversation.
We'll put that link up here too. Yes. So you guys can go check it out.
We love it. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a really good day. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we'll see you next week.
Oh my God.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Meet IRL.
Bye, girl.
Bye.